by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a man whose fiance broke their engagement, and his heart was completely broken. And after a period of time, he received a letter of apology. In that letter, she expressed a desire for reconciliation. And this is what the letter read. Dear Jimmy, no words could ever express the great sorrow that I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please, please, please forgive me. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please take me back. I love you, I love you, I love you, and I will be yours forever. Signed, Betty. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. I'll tell you, nobody has more hecklers than I do. But anyway, it's not too hard for us to imagine that, is it? Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking together at the purpose of Christmas. The very first Sunday in Advent, we said that the first purpose of Christmas was intervention. That at exactly the precise God-ordained moment, God sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth. He was born under the law, born of a woman, and born to keep that law so that those of us, including all of us, who have broken the law, might be saved. Jesus Himself was bound by that law and lived a perfect and sinless life. And as a result, God accepted His sacrifice on the cross as a payment for sin. In the second week of our study, we looked at celebration. We said one of the purposes of Christmas is celebration. And the reason we celebrate is because God loves us. Because God went to such a degree of sending His Son, becoming a human being. And because of that great love, we celebrate. And we have the scriptures that tell us that not only does God love us, God is for us. He is on our side, no matter what we face, no matter what difficult situation we may find ourselves in. We can rely fully upon God, who will provide whatever we need in those situations, His strength, His comfort. Last week, in the third Sunday, we looked at the purpose of Christmas as being salvation. I don't necessarily like to use that word, because I don't think a word should have to have a definition to go with it. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about being saved from the penalty of sin. And through Christ, we are able to be freed from the penalty of sin by a gift of God's grace. There are many individuals who think that we can gain God's favor by doing something ourselves. The scripture doesn't teach us that. We can't be good enough. We can't follow this particular ritual and obtain God's favor. But rather, God offers us His forgiveness as a free gift of grace. It is unmerited, it is undeserved. And in addition to being by grace, we receive it by faith and by faith alone. Last week we said, well, sometimes people think it's works. Some people think it's works plus faith. But the Bible very clearly has taught us that from the beginning to present, all who are freed from the penalty of their sin are freed because of faith and only faith. There is no other way. And so today we come to the fourth and final purpose of Christmas in our Advent series. And if you've not guessed or not read what that is yet, it is reconciliation. What does that mean? Reconciliation means that which was broken or in conflict has been restored. Chaos is turned to calmness. Stress is turned to serenity. Tension is turned to tranquility. Today, I want us to focus on what reconciliation means in our lives. But as we get there, I just realized something. As we get there, we're going to go to Romans 5, and I'm going to apologize right now. In my 8 o'clock service, my slides were out of order, and I never fixed them. So guess what? You get a repeat of me flipping around to find them. But, oh well, maybe that'll be funnier than my intro. See, it is. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. What's that for? In Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Today I want to have us look at how the reconciliation that we have through Christ affects our lives. And if you're following along in your bulletin, there is an outline, and the first truth or the first point is this: Christmas is a time for reconciliation with God. That is, my friends, the primary purpose of Christmas. The primary purpose of Christmas is that God needed or desired to provide a way for mankind to be reconciled in their relationship with him. The scriptures clearly teach us that all of mankind has been affected by sin. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, to disregard his commands, and to do their own thing, the scriptures teach us that sin entered the world. And in Romans chapter 5, it says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. The result of that sin of Adam and Eve brought about two things. First of all, death, physical death, entered the world. There's no record of anything dying in the Garden of Eden prior to sin. But ultimately, what passes on to us is spiritual death or spiritual separation. The union, the relationship between God and mankind has been broken by sin. And the reason for it is this. God is a holy, perfect, and sinless God. Sometimes we think he's this jolly granddaddy that, you know, everybody can crawl around on his lap and do what they want. But the reality is, he is a holy God, and he does not coexist with sin. And so sin always separates. Because sin separates, there needed to be a solution. And the solution was that God sent a Savior. God sent his Son. And through faith in his Son, that relationship that is broken can be reconciled. The two can be brought back together. What we read here from the Apostle Paul gives us a lot of information about that. And so we know that Christ died for our sin. The reality is, he died for us even when we were sinning against him. That's amazing to us because most of us would be willing to give of ourselves if somebody was meeting our expectations or somebody was behaving the way we wanted them to behave. And if as soon as they don't, we want to turn our back on them and break that off. But the reality is that even while we were sinning against God, Christ died for us. It says in verse 8, while we were still sinners, he died. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey tells a story about a man and wife who one night had an argument about how their supper was cooked. You know, it's really not the big things that are divisive in a marriage relationship. It's usually the little, less significant things that we could argue over. And this couple fought about dinner. It was a heated argument, and that night they decided to sleep in separate rooms. Neither one was willing to approach the other. Neither was willing to take the first step and say, I'm sorry, or offer forgiveness. And as a result, they remained in separate rooms each night, hoping that the other one would offer an apology or extend forgiveness, but neither would make that step. Two people who probably loved each other desperately wanted reconciliation, but neither one was willing to humble themselves and to make a move. But praise God, God was willing to humble himself. He made the first move. He came to this earth so that he could die for us, die for our sin, so that that relationship could be restored. In Ephesians 1, it says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Christmas is a time for us to evaluate our own individual relationship with God and to be reconciled with Him. It is a time to draw near to God and to have that relationship that might be broken by sin to be restored. Truth number two. Christmas is time for reconciliation with ourselves. You know, even after that relationship with God is restored, sometimes it takes some time for us to come to peace within ourselves. Sometimes it takes time for us to let ourselves off the hook, if you will. Oftentimes, people will say to me, "Pastor, I trusted Christ as my Savior, but I don't feel any different." Maybe some of you that are sitting with us today have said that as well. "Pastor, I've prayed and I believe that Jesus died on the cross, but you know, after I prayed, I didn't really feel any different than I did before. What's up with that?" And the truth is that when we make that decision to trust Christ as our Savior, God saves us. He grants us forgiveness. He gives us His Holy Spirit to indwell us. He gives us a promise of eternal life. But the process of understanding all of that and being able to sense and know His Spirit within us many times takes some time. The other thing I would want to say is that our relationship with God, our being forgiven, is not based on how we feel, because our feelings can change a lot. Your feelings might actually change within this service or within this day. Our foundation of faith is based on this. It is based on the Word of God that does not change and is eternal. And so it is on the basis of the authority of God's Word that we know that when we have believed by faith, we have been given eternal life, we have been granted forgiveness. As we are at peace with God and we begin to come to peace within ourselves, we learn to depend on God. Even when we face difficulty and uncertainty, we learn to rely upon God and allow Him to lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. We learn to understand how His Word can help us and guide us. And it is through that process that we begin to be at peace within ourselves. Normally, we define peace as the absence of conflict. But God's peace is experienced in the midst of conflict. In Isaiah chapter 26, it says, "You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on You because they trust You." Think about that, how important that is to us. Now, many of you are probably familiar with what is known as the Serenity Prayer. How many of you know that? How many of you think you know all of it? Yes. As I was preparing this message, and I have to tell you, I prepared a multiple of messages this week, including the one for next Sunday. And so I might jump track, and if I do, I'm sorry. But anyway, as I was preparing for this message, I came across an illustration about the Serenity Prayer, which says, "Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." But then the prayer continues and says, "Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Very powerful words. We experience peace within as we take in one day at a time, accepting the things that we cannot change, seeking acceptance from God, trusting that he will make all things right, and recognizing that in this world, everything does not have to be perfect. God promises us trouble-free, problem-free life in eternity and not here. It says we will be supremely happy with him forever in the next. Truth number three. Christmas is a time for reconciliation with others. This is the tough one, my friends. This is the tough one, okay? For some people, it's tough to surrender to God. For some people, it's tough to find peace within themselves. But for a lot of people, an awful lot of people, far too many people, it is very tough to be reconciled with others. Once we have been reconciled with God and have experienced his forgiveness and his peace within our heart, we are to live at peace with everyone. I don't get too angry yet. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Now I know I'm not even going to look, because I don't want anybody to think I'm looking at you, okay? But I know exactly what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, wait a minute. I know what you're saying. I know that I'm supposed to make every effort to be at peace with all people. But you have no idea the kind of person that I deal with. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know how awful, what kind of a scoundrel that person has been. And you're telling me that the Bible says that I am supposed to make every effort to forgive that person. Yes, I am. Basically, what I'm telling you is, you need to make every effort to forgive that person, and here it's going to get even thicker, even if that person will not acknowledge what they've done. That's where it gets really tough. You know, many times, people do harmful, hurtful things, and they live in denial. They will not even acknowledge it. They go on with their life having one big old party. But the person who is unable to forgive that is the one that is bound by it, is the one that is being hurt by it. And so the scripture says that we must make every effort, as much as it depends on us, to live in peace with all people, including that person that's on your mind right now, okay? It's the way it is. Does that mean that you need to have, I forgive you, now let's just, you know, walk around holding hands and do everything together for the rest of our lives? No, it doesn't mean that at all. You know, sometimes boundaries are necessary. But it does mean that we need to forgive them, even if they don't deserve it, even if they won't acknowledge what they've done. And here's the basis for that. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now let me ask you a question. Did you deserve to be forgiven? No. Did you acknowledge your need to be forgiven before Christ took the first step? No. Because as I read to you earlier, that God demonstrates his love for us that in while we were still sinning against him, Christ died for us. And I know it's hard. I know it can be difficult. But it's very important to God. In Romans it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Sounds like God wants you to make the first step, just as he made the first step, to live at peace with everyone. In fact, it is so important to God that he wants us to make that effort a priority. Because in Matthew chapter 5, it says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. We are to make every effort. We are to be peacemakers. We are to be willing to take the first step. And my friend, sometimes that takes a lot of humility on our own part. We, many times, are the ones that we feel have been wronged, okay? And yet, God says, you take the first step, following the example of God himself, who took the very first step in allowing our broken relationship to be reconciled with him. I came across a story about two brothers. Their names were John and Jack. They lived on adjoining farms, and they had a wonderful relationship growing up. And as adults, they shared farm equipment with one another. Their families were close together. It was just a wonderful, loving, and caring family. And then one day, through a very small misunderstanding, that relationship fell apart. In fact, there was an explosion of bitter words and ugly and nasty things that were said. That next day, Jack took a bulldozer. And he went after the river levee up the way, and he broke it open so that between the two adjoining farms, there was now a river. And he thought, I don't have to deal with him anymore. So his brother decided, well, you know what? I don't even want to look at him anymore. So he ordered a truckload of lumber with the intention of building a 12-foot high fence that no matter how he looked, he would never have to see his brother again. The lumber arrived. And that morning, there was a knock at the door, and there was a man there, and he said, I'm looking for work. And his brother said, wow, you know what? I have this big job I need to do. I want to build a 12-foot fence along my property line, right along the edge of that river, so I do not need to look over and see that property. That's my miserable brother that lives over there. I want this built, and I'm glad you're here. I could use your help. He said, okay, I'll do it. And so John went off to town to get some supplies to finish the job, and he was gone all day. And when John came home, he looked, and he was completely astonished because there was no 12-foot fence. Instead, there was a bridge. A bridge complete with handrails. as John looked stunned, he saw his brother Jack walking across that bridge, extending his arms out. Those two brothers met in the middle of that bridge, and their relationship was reconciled. All because of a carpenter. A carpenter who came to make it possible for the two to be joined together again in a relationship. My friend, that's exactly who Jesus is. He's willing to build a bridge. He's willing to help you. In fact, he promises to be with you. You know that portion of scripture that we often use, say, oh, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there I'm in your midst. We like to use that when nobody shows up for prayer meeting or Sunday school or whatever. We do. Don't laugh. It's true. The reality is, it's from the portion of scripture where God says that we are to be in a right relationship with one another. Go and be reconciled. And where two or more gather in my name, I promise to be there. God promises to be with us, to help us, to restore that which is broken and destroyed. Now, here comes a disclaimer. I better get that in. Sometimes you will do everything you can within your own power. Sometimes you will do everything you can, even seeking the power of God to make a difference, and things remain broken. What then? I believe God puts that burden of accountability on that other person. That doesn't mean that we never stop praying about it. We never stop trying. We never say, well, I did my share. That's it. I'm done again. We don't have that privilege, okay? We just do not. But we can't go through life beating ourselves up either, all right? As much as it depends on us, we are to make every effort possible to be reconciled with one another. That's it. Christmas is a time for reconciliation. And it's a tough time when reconciliation is not present. It's a very tough time. So let me ask you this morning, where do you most need reconciliation this Christmas? Is it with God? Have you been avoiding God? Have you been trying to pretend that God somehow will say, it's okay, even though you've rejected his son? It won't be. Is the need for reconciliation within? Trying to forgive yourself. Trying to experience his peace. The scriptures are the foundation for that, not necessarily our feelings. They change. Or is your need for reconciliation somewhere in a relationship with others? And then, what step or steps could you take to bring reconciliation to that need? What could you do? What would be the first step that you would need to make? Is it to trust Christ? Is it to trust what his word says? Or is it to take the first step in trying to be reconciled with one another? God sent a helper, a carpenter. And he is willing to help you to build that bridge. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for Christmas, for all that it means. Lord, I would pray for anyone that is present here today that is uncertain of their relationship with you. If you are not positively certain that you have been forgiven for your sin, right here today, you could simply trust Christ by admitting your sin, and God already knows anyway, by telling God that you believe that Jesus died for your sin, and trusting yourself to Him as your Savior. You may do it simply saying, Lord, I know that I break your law. I know that I sin. I know that I do things that are contrary to your word, and I am sorry for that. And I want to be forgiven. And right here, right now, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I believe that He died for my sin and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, it isn't the prayer that makes the difference, but it is the decision of your heart and will that makes the difference in reconciling that broken relationship. Maybe you're dealing with difficulty in your own life. Maybe you're trying to forgive yourself. Right here and now, I would encourage you to take whatever that is and to lay it at Jesus' feet and say, I know that you have forgiven me, and right now, I forgive myself as well. Give me your peace. Give me your perfect peace. Or maybe the need is to reconcile with someone else. Maybe the need is for you to be willing to do as much as it possibly can be done on your behalf. Would you ask God to give you guidance? Would you ask Him to work in the hearts of the other party, the other individual, to help them to be receptive, to even transform their heart and make it ready for reconciliation? Lord, you are able, we believe, to reconcile all things in all situations, if it be your will, and as we surrender to you. Lord, may your will be done in each of our lives. We thank you for the message of reconciliation, for the demonstration of what it is to love and to humble and to give of yourself so that we could have a relationship with God. Help us to follow that example, even on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.